Hey everyone, Alex Brandy here, New England Patriots cheerleader, and you're listening to Boston's Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media.
Tyler, is by the way, you can keep this in, I don't care, before we even start. The fact is that I wanted Tyler Miller on this podcast because we have Pat Freiermuth today.
Yeah.
And he's the reason why I have the Pat Freiermuth, like, Penn State connection. And Tyler, like, wants us to revolve around his world, but he doesn't understand that Brendan Watabe has been carrying this and keeping this afloat over the last, like, 3 months, 4 months.
I am Boston's Big Three. Speaking of Boston's Big Three, welcome to episode 91 of Boston's Big Three, presented by Ride the Wave Media. We got myself, Brandon Watabe, and the Spike King here for our 91st episode, previewing Super Bowl weekend and a variety of other things happening right now in the sports world. Let's just jump right in before we get to the Super Bowl and everything like that that's happening this weekend. It's been a good week for the Boston Bruins. I know they're like the middle child. They're like the least of the least on the show of the teams we talk about. But David Pastrnak, the hero, the kid, the greatest, not the greatest, the best, the most talented player on the Boston Bruins right now, came back and has scored 5 goals in his 2 games back to start the season, which, I mean, if you're not a hockey guy, I mean, just hearing that number is pretty impressive across any sport, really. Come back, and even in football, if you came back for 2 games and scored, what, 5 touchdowns in two games, it's pretty good. Unless you're Cam Newton, that'd be great. But shout out to the Boston Bruins. I know they don't get enough love on this show. They are balling right now. Or pucking? How do you say that? I don't know hockey enough. It's like, they're just playing very well.
I mean, they're 7-1-2 this season. Yeah. I have to eat my words. I mean, Tuukka Rask as well, too, a big contributor. Well. Like, I mean, listen, I'm still not going to give him any sort of like, oh, like, I forgive you. Like, you left your team high and dry. Prove me wrong. Like, I've said it. Prove me wrong and go win a Stanley Cup. Like, just go do it. And then I'll shut up. But until then, like, I don't care what you do in the regular season. It's about
he hasn't won a cup yet. It's still a to-do list for Tuukka, but
it's a long season. But you know what? We're showing you guys love because we never talk about the Boston Bruins, and you guys are the first things on here.
The cool thing about the Bruins so far is they've been the comeback kings, kind of like that, like 2018 Red Sox. So maybe there's something magical happening there, but they've been down 3 goals on occasion, I think 3 times, and they've won every single game, or at least pushed it to OT, like against the Capitals. I know they had a back-to-back against Washington, and we're down 3 goals in each game, lost in overtime in the first one, won in overtime in the second one. It's crazy, or not even overtime, they just won in regulation. They scored 5 unanswered goals. So
it makes me wonder what Chara is going to think if, like, the Bruins can get back to the
and Chara scored against the Bruins. It's crazy.
Yeah
he was holding them back. You never know.
I mean, they're 6-2-3 right now. I mean, it'll be great to see them in the playoffs. Right. Having Chara, and hopefully by then there's, like, fans in the stands.
There's got to be. Could you imagine playoff, like, last year was just terrible. Playoff hockey with no fans in the stands. It's not the way it's meant to be, man. You got it. Like, playoff hockey is one of those magical atmospheres where it's really considered one of the best atmosphere in all of playoff sports. So you got to have fans there because that atmosphere is just, it's barren without it. But speaking of comebacks, Alex Cora is still the manager of the Boston Red Sox. He is back again. I know I kind of touched on as my last thought. We didn't even do opening thoughts today, but Alex Cora is back as the manager of the Red Sox. And they had a big press conference because there was some news in Boston this week, some sad news that we all knew was coming eventually, that Dustin Pedroia has officially retired from the game of baseball. Number 15 is starting his campaign to get his number retired by Boston. I think, Babs, I want your take. I know you're a big jersey retiring guy. Does Dustin Pedroia deserve it? He won the Rookie of the Year, won MVP in his second season, won a World Series in his very first year with the Red Sox. So what do you think? 3-time World Series champ Dustin Pedroia, does 15 deserve to be retired?
100%. It comes down. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, it comes down to tenure, like, on the team. He started with the Sox, ends it with the Sox.
Right.
How many seasons did he, or how many years was he with the organization? I know he hasn't played really the last couple seasons.
He's been about 15 years. About
yeah, 15 so years. It's well deserved. I mean, Tim Wakefield's numbers retired right. with the Boston Red Sox, and again, deserved for Tim Wakefield because of his tenure, the 10-year tenure for the Boston Red Sox. So rightfully deserved, and it's another one of those things. Don't rush to retire his number. Maybe wait another season right. or two.
Like
three,
Poppy's was retired immediately. Like it was, it was like four, maybe 2 or 3 months into the very next season in 2017 that he had his number already up there. But I don't think you're going to see that like Pedroia's.
Well, you have to wait until fans, you take him Pat Fenway to all the way up there, and he deserves that moment.
Because he didn't get a send off. He didn't get a send off when you look at like guys like David Ortiz, like the Red Sox lost in the playoffs to the Indians. And it was at Fenway. So David Ortiz got his curtain call, and he got to actually come back out onto the field and tip his cap to the fans one more time, which was like, it was a sad moment for the Sox to leave the playoffs, but you actually got a chance to say goodbye to David Ortiz. I don't think a lot of athletes get to do that, but it was pretty cool to see Poppy get that. Hopefully Pedroia, they can figure out some way when fans are back in the stands. I'm assuming it is going to be the 2021 season. Right now we are looking like we're going to have fans, but hopefully Pedroia does get that kind of send off, because it just ended so bad. Like it's not like it ended poorly. Like it was a divorce at the end of it. Pedroia is going to be a Red Sox for the rest of his life. Like you can't think of this recent run by the Red Sox in the last decade without mentioning Pedroia's name as being a key part of that 07 and 2013 team. He deserves that kind of send off. It was a tough finish because of the injuries. We'll always pin it to that one game in Baltimore against Manny Machado and those Orioles, that a dirty, dirty slide to this day. You can put it on my grave. That slide was not part of the game of baseball, ruined Dustin Pedroia's career. He played nine games in 3 years after that. So
for Pedroia's case, I'm just more curious about what are you going to do for the organization now that you're retired? And I hope that Pedroia sticks around and does something and helps out with this organization. I think those last couple of seasons for him, especially where his contract was at, and he wasn't playing anything. Right. I think there was kind of a little screwing around with both sides, whether he wants to collect paychecks or not. I think he should have retired at least a couple years ago. Everyone kind of knew his time was up.
Nine games in 3 years is it's not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, what are you hanging on for? What are you hanging on for?
I mean, he is the type, like he's got that mentality, like the Mamba mentality. He really does have that. He's this little 5'9 kid from California who just found his way and became one of the best players in Major League Baseball in his career, which was crazy to watch. Like just to think that we got to see his entire career with the Red Sox come to a start and come to an end the way that it did. But thank you, Petey. We love you. We'll miss you. We'll never forget the laser show. But moving on, we did have a fun interview today with that Babs touched on at the beginning of the show with Penn State's tight end prospect, NFL prospect, Pat Freiermuth. So Babs, you want to touch on that a little bit before we jump into it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, shout out to Pat Freiermuth to be able to come back on. It's been 10 months since we did our last interview. It was our first interview. And again, you'll hear me talk a lot at the beginning, just letting you know, because we had a little sponsor ad. I talked about Pat and what we did on that last interview. This was very interesting. A couple things that stood out with me, just so you guys can listen into. Pat talks about his tight end coach, Tyler Bowen. We talk about the upcoming NFL draft. I was very interested with the prospects that he's actually with right now out in California training. We touched on that as well too. Of course, if it's Babs and he's by himself in an interview, he has to go on a Stidham rant. So we went on one of those. Just talking about being a Patriots fan, the ending will be kind of funny. So let's just tune right in. Pat Freiermuth, former tight end for Penn State, because now he's an NFL draft prospect, will go into the draft, will get selected by an NFL team this year. Pat Freiermuth. All right, welcome to Boston's Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media. Before we get to our special guest, this interview to you by jerseyrats.com. Now, listen, if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, I want you to stop. I want you to head to YouTube, Ride the Wave Media, look up this podcast, because I'm going to show you what a jersey rack is. Right behind me, I have my New England Patriots Tom Brady jersey set up right here. What's amazing about the jersey rack, and I don't know if you guys can see this at home, if you watch it on YouTube, but I'll explain it if you're listening. I have a full wine bottle right above my head. I have two full beer cans, Patriots beer cans above me. I have a championship hat. I have a jar with confetti on it, Super Bowl. That's a lot of weight up there. A ton of weight up there. It can hold up to 35 pounds of jersey. It comes with any kind of custom shelf. You can get New England Patriots. You can get Cincinnati Bengals. Detroit Red Wings. Doesn't matter where you're from. Any sort of custom rack, you can get it. I have my Tom Brady jersey hanging up because we have Super Bowl on Sunday. I got a rep TB12. Straight up jersey racks. So you can take this off there and put it right back up there. Head to www.jerseyracks.com. Use code LFG and check out for 15% off. And I think I have to talk to the owner of Jersey Racks because we might need a nice blue one, the Natty Lions logo in the middle, you know, like the Penn State colors. Maybe we can get a jersey hung up there, you know, a game-worn jersey. Or send it to the Fryer Mutes household. Today's episode, we have Pat Fryer Mutes, former tight end, Penn State, an NFL draft prospect. Pat, what's going on?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great. For anybody that wants to know more about Pat, we had him on 10 months ago. A lot's changed in 10 months, and this is what I'm suggesting to everybody. Stop again. I'm telling you to stop for a second time. I want you to go back to episode 50 of Boston's Big Three. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Listen in on that, because our first time together, we talked about Pat growing up at Merrimack, Massachusetts, New England, how he got and played basketball. He had an offer at UMass, and then he ended up switching over to football, and he talks about his time at Penn State, some of the big games and awesome games he was going through, and we talked about going through COVID. This was back in last April and getting ready and all this and that. Right now, what we're doing is we're playing catch-up. We're going to track back for these last 10 months. We're about to cover Penn State's 2020 season. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're going to talk a little bit about the non-combine that's happening. And we're going to talk about the future and, of course, the Super Bowl on Sunday. So, Pat, I'm going to stop talking. It's all about you now. We're going to go through the questions. I have them written down for everybody at home. So I might stutter a little bit. I might take my time a little bit here. But, Pat, let's get this going. Since we last talked back in April, there was some uncertainty going on with the college football season as a whole. We didn't know if any conference was going to play. Some said they were, some said they wouldn't. And then an internet rumor surfaced that you were going to opt out and declare for the draft. And we know how internet rumors work around here. I'm the Spike King. There's a lot of them that go on. You came out and you said, hey, I'm going to Penn State. I'm going to play another season. What went into that decision to play and opt in for the 2020 COVID season, and why did you want to go back?
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, I would take that back to last year with this kind of, you know, me having the ability to leave last year. You know, I wasn't ready. I wanted to play that third season in Happy Valley and, you know, and do all the things and set out to the goals that I wanted to accomplish at Penn State. You know, I had unfinished business and, you know, going into the season over the summer, like I was preparing really hard for a great season. And I think the whole guys on the team were. But when it was taken away from us, obviously, it was definitely difficult. And, you know, I went back to school and I was just frustrated with, you know, watching TV, watching ESPN and seeing these other teams play safely, of course, like, you know, get tested, do all that. And it was just frustrating to me. So, you know, for my mental like ability and my mental like sanity, I kind of want to get out of Penn State and go start training for my next future because I kind of knew that's what my path wanted to be. But, you know, me and a couple guys on the team and a couple of guys from different programs like Justin Fields and such, we started talking and we started putting a bunch of stuff out in media, like, why can't we play with the SEC, the ACC can play, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the Big Ten decided to, you know, reverse course and, you know, very thankful for that. And, you know, that was my goal to begin with, was to go and play my third year, my junior year at Penn State and try and break some records. And, you know, I had the chance to do that. You know, so I'm very grateful for that. Broke some records, had a great time playing with my guys. And, you know, obviously getting hurt, it was not the most ideal situation, but you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. So you sustained a shoulder injury while playing Ohio State, which resulted in surgery later on and ended your season early. And we all know injuries absolutely suck. And especially you know when you're going to go to the draft the next year and your stock was, you know, pretty sky high, it could potentially hurt draft value. You know, and this could mentally get to you. I mean, I just went through back surgery last August and I put on like at least 35, 40 pounds and I had my twins the week before that. So I know just having an injury, it's hard to bounce back from. And when you're a college football player that has the potential to be selected in the first round, it hurts mentally. It brings you down. It puts you in a bad state of mind. So for you, what's kept you mentally focused and driven since getting that injury?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely tough, you know, hearing the news where, you know, I would have to end up getting surgery, get it repaired and get back to myself. And, you know, my whole mentality ever since I got at Penn State is I wanted to be the best tight end to, you know, ever play this game. And, you know, some people might laugh at that goal, but that's just kind of how I was wired. Going to Penn State, I had that chip on my shoulder for not being really a highly recruited tight end coming out of high school. And I just really wanted to, you know, prove people wrong and prove the doubters wrong. And that's kind of the mentality I had going at Penn State. Especially now, you know, with that shoulder injury, you know, it's going really well so far. The rehab is, and you know, I'm 3 months out and I'm 3 weeks ahead of schedule and it's feeling really well, really good. And, you know, I'm feeling great. So, you know, just continue to work hard. And, you know, there's always that bigger goal that I want to get to. So just having that in mind every single day when I wake up and attack PT and attack workouts and just trying to get better any way I can.
You're going to always have haters and like, it's going to carry into the NFL. I have haters. I'm just a jabroni fan. And it just, and it mentally gets to me sometimes. I'm like, I want to just prove these mother effers wrong. Like I just want to go out there and grind it out in my own little world that I live in. But in the NFL world, you are going to see it no matter what team you land on and keep that mentality always against you. It's Freiermuth versus everybody. Always keep that for you.
For sure.
There's no combine this year. I'm a little disappointed. I went there last year. It was my first time. I attended as a fan. I wanted to go there this year as media because it's a little bit easier to get there. No combine at all. So the only time scouts would be seeing anything would be either virtually, the Senior Bowl, which just happened, or pro days that are already set up. On the overall spectrum for college football athletes, do you think it's an advantage or a disadvantage for players to have no combine?
I mean, there's difference. I feel like it's good for some players that there's no combine. It's bad, obviously, for some players. You know, personally, it's actually helps me out a lot because I wouldn't be able to participate in the combine as much as I can in my pro day. My pro day is March 25th, and that's a whole extra month since after the combine. So that's going to be like 5.5 months for me, and I'll be fully cleared, and I'll be running around and doing everything I need to do to show the scouts what I do. So personally, it's really good for me, but you know, I feel bad for some of the guys, especially going to Indianapolis for the experience and just kind of doing that whole combine experience. It definitely stinks and definitely something, you know, I wish I could have been part of. But, you know, personally, I'm not too bummed about it just because it helps me out.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you had to go to the combine and, of course, you said you couldn't do it, there could be other tight ends or other players that their stock value starts going up. So then all of a sudden you kind of push yourself down a little bit. I see it in your sense. And again, the combine was as a fan only, it was a great experience because that's a great way to communicate and see how everything goes. They had a little NFL experience there. I booed Chase Young last year because he refused to do the bench press. And then everyone looked at me like I'm a weirdo, but I'm used to it anyways. We'll talk more about your pro day too, like later on, like off after this. I didn't even know you were going to have a pro day March 25th. Where's that being held?
At Penn State.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. We'll catch back with that one.
Sounds good.
We're a little over 2 months away from the draft and not to get ahead of myself. We know you're going to land somewhere early on, whether it's the end of the first round or early second round. But are there other of your Penn State teammates that we should keep an eye on in the draft? Like, who are they and what should we be looking for this upcoming draft?
Yeah, actually, I mean, we're going to have a lot of Penn State guys drafted, I think. You know, obviously first we got Micah. You know, he's a hell of a player and he's going to get drafted really high. And you know, I'm very excited for his future and for his family. And you know, he's going to do great things. Same with Jason Oway, his DN. You know, actually all three of us are out here training together right now in California. You know, pushing each other and just kind of feeding off each other like how we did in college. So it's been an awesome experience just training with those guys. And, you know, we push each other to new limits every single day. And, you know, they're really competitive and so am I. So it's been awesome to just kind of train with them. And, you know, we have a DN, Shaka Tony, who's going to get drafted. pretty high. Michael Bennett, our center. We got a couple other guys who, you know, who are going to have solid pro careers and have some good opportunities to play in the NFL. So, you know, I'm excited for all my guys on the team, and, you know, I'm excited for their future and for their families and themselves.
Is there any future prospects that we should be looking at too in the 2022 NFL draft that will be coming from Penn State?
Yeah, we got, you know, there's a safety, Jaquan Brisker, who's going to be a really good player this year. He came back for a sixth year or fifth year. Yeah, he's gonna have a really good season. Same with Tariq Castro Fields, both in the secondary. They're going to really have great seasons. And, you know, they came back for a reason to, you know, it's their time and their time to shine and prove those people wrong who've been doubting them. So, you know, I can't wait to see them shine.
You know, I went to UMass Lowell for college. I was a Riverhawk. Yeah. So we didn't have a football program to root for. So I might have to start becoming a Penn State Natty sure. Lion fan, like, and start getting in maybe some future interviews with these guys as well, too. Just keep for track sure. of what's going on at Penn State.
For sure.
Prior to the 2020 season, your name was thrown around as potentially being the top tight end in the country and heading into the draft. Based on draft rankings, which rankings are rankings, you know, Mel Kiper's in the world. They don't know everything. They get everything pretty much wrong. Kyle Pitts is the number one guy right now, and Kyle Pitts' name has been thrown around everywhere when it comes to tight end. I just want to know, is there any relationship between arguably the top two tight ends in this draft?
Yeah, Kyle and me talk all the time. We're out here training together right now. So, you know, we're feeding off each other. You know, we're bouncing ideas off each other, you know. He does some good things that, you know, I struggle with, and I do some great things that he struggles with. So, you know, it's really good to, you know, work out with him and compete with him. And, you know, we have a pretty good relationship, and, you know, I'm happy for him. Like I said, I'm happy for him and his family that he has the opportunity that he has. And, you know, regardless where he goes, regardless where I go, like, we're going to be boys. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, obviously you want to have that tight end one ranking or the tight end, whatever ranking at your position, but at the end of the day, like, the draft is what it is, and the rankings, it is what it is. But when you get drafted, it doesn't really matter. Like, I kind of have the same mentality when I went to college. You know, everyone has a ranking, and you come in, and it's a clean slate. You know, you sign that contract, you sign that national letter of intent. It's just working. It's just business. And I'm excited to get the opportunity with the team, with an organization who drafts me, wherever that may be. And I'm going to come in like I did in college and just grind every day. And, you know, excited for the future for both of us.
It's good that you have, like, that support group right there. I mean, at the end of the day, football's family. It's all one big family. And, you know, even when the group that you have, you all want to see success, and there will be failure. It happens, but it's great that you stay connected like that, and you're bonding at this time, especially in such a weird offseason heading into the draft as well, too. So, This comes as a fan question from Joey Stapleton. I had my questions already set out for you, but I know some people were poking at me about different things. He was telling me you had a very close connection with the tight end coach at Penn State, Tyler Bowen. And Bowen just recently got hired under Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. I just want to know if you can enlighten me more about your relationship with Tyler and what he meant with you at your time at Penn State.
Yeah, Tebow, he's like a second father to me. You know, he came in when I came in, and we kind of, you know, built a relationship that, you know, it's amazing to kind of have that coach and that friendship with a guy who he knows what he's talking about with football. Clearly, I mean, he just got hired as a Titans coach with an NFL team, and, you know, arguably one of the best coaches of all time, Urban Meyer. So obviously, if he trusts him, he's a great coach and knows what he's talking about. And, you know, all my success, you know, I owe to him. He's pushed me so hard. You know, not only on the field, but, you know, growing up as a man and being kind of that guy to, you know, take football as work and, you know, show up every day, punch the clock and come get better. And, you know, he's pushed me every single day, like I said, and, you know, I owe all my success really to him and Coach Franklin and, you know, the whole coaching staff, but he's obviously a big part of that.
As a fan, and I saw that, and I saw that question, we could be seeing Lawrence DeFryermuth next year. Just saying, never know.
Me and Trevor are actually out here throwing together right now. So
Are you with Jarrett Stidham out there as well too?
I just talked to him today. Yeah, we're gonna be working out next week.
Tell him since Spike King says hello. I'm listening. All right, this is off record. I'm a huge Jarrett Stidham guy. You don't have to say anything about anything. Yeah. Jarrett Stidham. is he got drafted 2 years ago. He gets to play under Brady. He got to play under Cam Newton. I believe in the guy. No one in New England believes in him. I am all in on Jarrett Stidham. And he probably knows that because I probably tag him in a lot of posts. But I saw the posts of Stidham and Trevor Lawrence together and Jordan Palmer, the quarterback's coach. Yeah. So it's interesting now to, for me as a fan, to hear that and be like, oh, wow, like everyone's kind of out there together training. So it's good for to see that. It's also good that the media is not putting that out there.
For sure.
Draft night is one of the most special nights for any player. The grind, the hard work from your entire life culminates till one day where you're selected to play in your dream job, which is the NFL. Yep. Have you put into any thought of what you'll be doing draft night?
Yeah, I'll just be with my loved ones at my house. My parents, my brother and my sister, aunt, uncle, cousins, you know, the whole family, the whole tight-knit group has been there from the start and supported me through the way. And you know, my family means the world to me. I've always been a family guy. I always have their back. And you know, I get emotional, like kind of talking about it because, like, I was talking to my mom actually earlier today. Like, she started crying and everything. My mom's my rock, and she's helped me through this whole thing. And we were actually talking today, and she kind of was just like, it's so weird, you know, talking about the draft and you getting drafted, and just kind of having that next step in my life. And you know, it's definitely something that I've worked towards my whole life, and I'm very excited to, you know, get that phone call and you know, start that next chapter of my life.
You know, earlier we talked about rumors, and rumors are rumors. I heard a rumor Spike King might get the invite there too, as the fly in the wall to see what happens. You know, Spike King, listen, what he can provide. He can provide a film crew to document everything that's going on. He can provide catering, like whatever you want. You want Chick-fil-A? Spike King has you in the family. He'll stay right in the corner. He does everything on his little social media platform. You want Ty Law there to show support? I'll get Ty Law there to show support. Just a rumor. You can sit on it.
Just the rumor.
Just a rumor. You never know. Rumors are rumors, though. You can shut that down pretty quick.
I'll sit on it.
Good. At least you're sitting on it. You're being nice and respectful to me now until you hang up. You're like, what the hell is he talking about? There was an article from Heavy.com and Pro Football Focus, and they had a graphic that compared you and Mac Jones as the next Brady Gronk. And we've heard the term baby Gronk for years now. And from being from Merrimack, Massachusetts, and watching Gronk win 3 Super Bowls in New England, does it ever get old being called baby Gronk?
I wouldn't say it gets old. If I could have gone back in time and if I could have deflected that nickname, I probably would have. Just because, you know, Gronk's, I think he's obviously the best tight end to ever play the game. And it's a huge honor to be compared to him by some. But, you know, I have a lot of work to do, like I've said before, to even get to that level. So, you know, I wish back in time I would have deflected the nickname. But, you know, it's all cool now. Like, you know, it's all love. But, you know, I'm my own player, and Gronk's his own player, and you know, he's top tight end of the game, and you know, I still got a lot of work to do to be there. So, you know, it's a great comparison, but you know, just got to continue to do my thing and keep focusing on my craft.
It kind of puts pressure on you in a way, and I mean, you're gonna get that drawn comparison, and then the casuals out here and the jabronis will just always compare you to Gronk, and you're not, you know, your game's gonna be different than what Rob Gronkowski is. As you said, he's arguably the top tight end. It's gonna be hard to even mimic something like that. And like you said, it's flattering, but you're your own Pat Freiermuth. You're setting your own, wave. You're going on your own wave. So, you know, as I said in the past, no matter where you land in the NFL, it's a complete blessing. You have an opportunity that others dream about having, and you're up for grabs for all 32 teams. You could be catching passes next year from Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, or even Tom Brady. Have you put in any thought that you might be catching passes from the guys that you grew up on watching every Sunday?
I've always thought about it, but you know, at the end of the day, whoever I'm catching passes from, you just gotta show up and work. And you know, it's sitting back and reflecting on it now, you know, it's gonna be cool, you know, one day to tell my kids or my grandkids of who I play with in the league and who I competed against and everything like that. So I mean, I've obviously thought about it, and it's kind of cool watching them on TV. Brady going for his 7th Super Bowl. It's kind of cool. Maybe one day I catch a couple passes from him, but you know, I'm just focused on, you know, getting to a team where, you know, we're going to be successful.
Just make sure if you're playing against Tom Brady next year, run up to him and say, "Hey, I need your jersey. I'm from Massachusetts." Sure. Like this and that. Just do the complete fanboy. I need the game worn.
I might. To be honest, I might.
Let's talk about the number 87. Did you choose that number at Penn State, or was that given to you?
So I actually wanted number 89, but I showed up the first day and my backpack said 87. So I was like, all right, guess we're rolling with 87.
is there any significance behind that number now? Like, what does that number mean to you right now after playing at Penn State?
Yeah, so it means a lot. You know, I've always had an 8 in my number somewhere. So in high school, I wore number 8, and college, 87. So I feel like 8 is kind of like my number, any number with an 8 in it. So, you know, I think it's a special number to me, 87, obviously. And I think that, you know, with all the things I accomplished at Penn State and all the goals and the records I've broken there, you know, it definitely means a lot to me. And, you know, 87 is going to be a part of me for the rest of my life. And hopefully one day, you know, maybe in the league, I get to wear 87 again, but who knows? But 87 Penn State jersey is going to mean a lot to me for my whole
life. I was going
to
say, if it's available in the NFL and you can take whatever number you can get, would you take that right away, 87?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's my number.
So now, let's say that number's not available. Would you go for, and any other numbers available, would you go for 89? Or any number you could pick. Any number you can pick.
Any number I could pick. I'd probably go 88 or 84. I like those two numbers. Some good solid numbers right there.
Start getting your Instagram handles and all that ready and have extra ones, because then the second you get drafted and the second they find your number, they'll automatically, like Stidham's, like Jared underscore Stidham, like 8, although he wears 4, so everyone takes his Instagrams. You might want to do that little switcheroo. I have actually a follow-up question I didn't even put on here. If you get drafted by the New England Patriots and 87 is available, would you wear 87?
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. We'll see. That's kind of a game time decision.
I just want to, like, you know, as the Patriots fans that are listening here, any fans, that the number 87 will be worn again in New England by somebody. I do not see that number being retired. You can't retire every single great number, just like number 11, Drew Bledsoe wore it, Edelman wore it. They're not going to retire it. It will be given to somebody that absolutely deserves it, like Dante Hightower's 54 and Teddy Bruschi wore 54. So the only number will be 12, of course. No one's going to wear 12, but it would be kind of interesting to see that if the Patriots go your way.
Sure.
Can you share with us any personal goals that you have already set in your first year heading into the NFL?
You know, obviously personal goals, you know, I just kind of want to go in there and be a great teammate and a great guy, you know, in the locker room, you know, kind of be that guy where, you know, they respect my game and respect who I am on the field, but also respect me off it. That's kind of, you know, just go in and work every single day and kind of, you know, build a reputation that I'm a worker and I'm going to give it my all to the game of football. So that's my first and foremost goal. And anything that comes after that is going to be a blessing. It's going to be great to accomplish. But that's really my first goal going in, just going in and give respect to the guys and the organization and just, you know, give it my all.
I have a personal goal set for you. I would love to see you wherever you end up going. You got to take time, obviously. You got to get settled into whatever city or state you're in. I would love to see Pat Freiermuth set some sort of charity foundation together. I would love to be a part of that try to help raise any awareness, whatever you end up deciding to do and raise funds. I would love to be that, especially when you're sitting at, like, let's say 24K on Instagram and, you know, not a lot of people might know you. They're going to know you on draft night, and then they're going to start knowing you in that city, and you're going to have right away, like, just all these fans coming out and probably asking for all these different things. But I would love, love, love to see some sort of charity kind of set up with Pat Freiermuth.
My parents were talking about this. I'm very passionate about, you know, raising awareness for bullying and kind of creating a safe space for the kids that, you know, maybe get bullied or kind of, you know, don't really have someone to talk to. I want to create a safe space for them to come in and talk to them about, you know, what's going on and kind of raise awareness to bullying. And that kind of hits home for me. So that's something that I want to start. And I talked to my parents and my agents about that ever since, you know, I signed in a couple of years ago, talking to my parents about it. So that's something that, you know, I definitely want to start, you know, raising awareness for and building my own foundation for.
It's going to take time to do it, but I hope it's done within the first year in your rookie year. That'd be great.
Sure.
It's a great way to already, whatever city you go to, just to get yourself in with the community. I absolutely love the charity works. This question came from Green Runs Deep. He'll be heading down to the Super Bowl. He just told me today. Yeah. I'm very, very jealous about that. growing up as a football fan in New England, you know, you probably have a Brady jersey. You probably have a Gronk jersey. But as a general football fan, was there any other jerseys you repped because you were a fan of that player growing up?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I got a Drew Bledsoe jersey that I rep. you know, just kind of around. We got a Clay Matthews jersey. That was kind of random. That I didn't really, you know, expect to have that one. To be honest, I wasn't really a jersey guy. I mean, I had a Ray Allen UConn basketball jersey, which is kind of random because my uncle actually coached at UConn, so that's kind of a jersey that I had. But I wasn't really a big jersey guy, to be honest. So I would probably just say, you know, so the Bledsoe and the Ray Allen jersey was my two go-tos.
You're a smart man. We won't see like a Josh Allen thing happen where it surfaces and he wears wearing a Tom Brady jersey, or, you know, we won't see that Aaron Rodgers or something like that. And you're playing the Packers that week. It's like, oh, he was a big Aaron Rodgers fan. Yeah, that's
for sure.
Let's switch gears now before we end this. The Super Bowl is this Sunday. Who you got and why?
I got Brady just because, you know, he's Brady going for a seventh. And I think, you know, he's heard in the whole offseason during the season kind of, you know, just how he needs Belichick and all that kind of stuff. So I think Brady's going to get a seventh, and I think he's going to solidify himself for being the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to our last interview 10 months ago, I think I asked that question, how do you feel about him being down in Tampa? You said, I'm a Patriots fan first. I'm a Brady fan second. I root for him to do whatever he's got to do. He's like, Belichick will figure it out. And although they went 7-9, they're still going to figure it out. They have a good offseason coming up for them. On the flip side, you probably noticed my Instagram is just full-blown Tom Brady, just like absolutely riding him hardcore. Because I mean, I supported the guy 100%, but the false narrative that I dealt with was that you don't support him. I don't support the Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm a Patriots fan. I support him secondly. I'm going Kansas City. I think that this is the right time that the NFL, whatever conspiracy theories you guys think of, this is the great time that Pat Mahomes can be the poster boy of the league for the next 10 years. And I also think it comes down to coaching. Bruce Arians versus Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is one of the most underappreciated coaches because he's been coaching with Belichick pretty much by his side. Andy Reid has the sixth or seventh most wins all time in the NFL. Not a lot of people actually know that. It's known that Andy Reid's kind of like a choke artist as a coach, but last year was him getting over the hump, finally getting a Super Bowl. And I really think if he can go back-to-back coach, back-to-back Super Bowl wins, that's going to put Andy Reid a little bit more respect on him. And Tom Brady can't control defense. He can't control special teams. We've seen that in Super Bowl 52. So I think fans need to think of that way as well. We're going to do this for entertainment purposes only. This is entertainment purposes only. I had to pull up some prop bets for the Super Bowl. I'm just going to go over a couple. If it's not Brady and it's not Mahomes winning the MVP, who do you have winning an MVP in the Super Bowl?
I'm gonna have to go with my guy Chris Godwin out of Penn State. I think he's gonna have, you know, a great game. He's gonna show out, and you know he's gonna dominate like he always does.
It's been great with Brady this season. The national anthem is set at 1:59, and it's supposed to be a duet this year. Is it gonna go over or under 1:59?
If it's a duet, it's going over. I'm going over.
That's what I said. You got to smash the over. I took Demi Lovato over last year, got screwed. I think it was like 1:30. The big thing is the Gatorade color. So you have lime green, yellow. You have orange, red, clear, /water, blue or purple. What color will be the Gatorade that gets splashed on the coach?
I'm going red because both teams have red in them. So I feel like they're going to just – it has to be red.
I will say last year was orange for Kansas City, so they could be a little superstitious right there. Red is +160. I think that's kind of interesting. This is the last one. Will a non-quarterback throw a touchdown this game, yes or no?
I think so. I mean, there has to be a trick play in it, so I do think so. Receiver will probably throw a touchdown.
I said that Brady has that Philly special burned into his mind, and no better way to try to get his own touchdown and catch one in a Super Bowl, and that kind of just cancels it out. He's got to do it at some point, and I think he's got that on his mind. I had this last question, and I didn't write this down. This is just off the top of my head. Let's say for an example, you go to like Cincinnati, right? You're a Cincinnati Bengal. You're a Patriots fan. How does that work in the NFL with players that root for teams and then as they're growing up, and then you're a Bengals, you're going to be example, you're a Cincinnati Bengals guy, you're all for the Bengals. Bengals don't make the playoffs, the Patriots in the playoffs. Are you still supporting your home team in a way, or you just, how's it go?
Nah, I'm going to rep my organization regardless. So, you know.
So I can take your Patriots fandom card, and I can take it from you right now. It's over. You're handing it in once you go to the NFL draft.
See, here's my thing. Obviously, you know, the Patriots are my hometown team, but ever since I kind of got to Penn State, I haven't watched an NFL game, and I've started watching it this year, but I couldn't because we had practice on Sunday. So, to be honest, I wasn't really like a – I haven't been a big Patriots fan for a couple years now, so you can take it away from me, and you can, you know, wherever I go, you can put my card to that team.
What a cop-out excuse answer that was. I wasn't watching. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't watch those Super Bowls that they won.
I've watched that, but I'm serious. Like CBS and like all the team and Fox, like they, and PA, they don't stream the Patriots. They stream the Steelers and the Eagles. So you can take my card away from me. You can put it to the new organization.
Did you watch any of the Steelers and Eagles games out there at all? Or
For sure. Yeah. When I could.
All right, I'm gonna wrap that up for now. Pat Freiermuth, we appreciate you taking the time to come on here, Boston's Big Three, presented by Ride the Wave Media. This hopefully won't be the last time we get to talk to you. I hope we get to talk to you maybe pre-draft or post-draft. We'll see how it goes. Maybe post-pro day and see how it goes. We'll post your highlights and everything like that. Again,
yes, sir.
I know that I get a lot of flack. If you go to any team other than the Patriots, I get your jersey. I'm repping that. I'm there for you individually. I'm not rooting for your team, but I'm there for you individually to root for you right there. Maybe that rumor will come true, and I'll be there draft night. We'll see what happens. Pat Freiermuth, thank you so much
for your time. Yes, sir.
God bless. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
So what I loved about that interview, and I still hope that happens, I better get an invite to his draft party. Because what I did purposely, if you listen to it, I was reading like off of a sheet because I want to make sure that I have all these questions. He knows what's coming to him. I threw a couple curveballs in there. Don't worry about it.
You got it. It's your job.
But I want to make sure he's comfortable. Like Pat's being nice enough to take the time out of his day to talk to this jabroni for 30 minutes. I'm going to make sure that we boost him up. The fact is this, I laid it up and was like, what are you doing for the draft? And he goes on and he was kind of like getting a little teary eyed because it meant so much to him and his family to be together. I'm like, yeah, I heard a rumor like Sway King is going to be there. And let me tell you something. He said he'll sit on it and I'm going to keep poking him about it. But I will say this, if I get the invite there, he will be appreciative that I'm there because again, I'll be a fly on the wall. I'll stay in my little corner. Give me my little corner with the chair.
Just planting seeds, making sure he knows.
But I want to just, I told him catering taken care of. You guys need a film crew there taken care of. I'll get a production company to come in there. He heard that. And I think it like lit right in his mind. He was like, I kind of want to have home movies of this. And my family doesn't have to worry about anything. Yeah. Everything's taken care of. I can do that stuff. So it was great. And I did mention about his pro day. I didn't even know he was having a pro day. And I think that the combine question I asked him was about, is it an advantage or disadvantage overall? But he actually went in about himself and said it's an advantage because he wouldn't be at the combine and he would have all these other players probably leapfrogging him a little bit. So he's having a pro day at Penn State on March 25th. So I'm actually hoping that we'll be able to do somewhat of a follow-up after his pro day, maybe talk about his drills, how he feels, the scouts. Is there anything out there that maybe we can get a feel for? Lastly, it's just football's family. It's great that he's talked very highly about his teammates, but also like how he's out there with Kyle Pitts right now, how he's out there with Trevor Lawrence right now. They're all together, like just kind of helping each other out, boosting each other up. Yes, it's competitive, but at the same time, they all know they're getting drafted. They all know they're going somewhere. Yeah. So it's just kind of having that support group around them. And what a great class and to be in right now coming up. And you never know what happens in 5 years, who you're still with and what goes on. So
that's one of my favorite parts about like the NFL draft process is seeing all these college prospects kind of come together, like guys that you don't think they would necessarily know each other, but maybe they meet each other through the entire process. And just seeing the camaraderie, like these guys have each other's backs, which is really cool. Like they may have been rivals in college, but they've got each other's back. They're all trying to make their dreams come true and hear their name called on draft night, which is really cool. And I think you definitely heard that start to come out from Pat in that interview. So that was fun. I am happy we had him back. That was one of our best episodes 50 weeks ago. Now we're back here. So hopefully this one gets skyrocketed because of Pat. So former Penn State.
Let me tell you, Brendan, there's a lot of good quotes in there. There's a lot of good stuff. You'll be able to go in there and you'll be able to dissect it. And I'm sure that whether you're listening to this and are you seeing the quotes or not, like it was great for Pat.
Yeah.
I wish his phone was horizontal though. He's filming vertically. I forgot like halfway through. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. You make it work.
So, Babs, are there any prospects? Did you guys talk about prospects? Like, what are you thinking? I know you went on that Stidham rant, but what are you expecting the Patriots to kind of do in this draft?
Oh, well, the Stidham rant was just because he's out there in LA with Stidham. So gotcha. So it was funny because I knew he was out in California and he said he had PT and I know he's going through the physical therapy for his shoulder injury and this and that. And then when I mentioned about Tyler Bowen, and then I said, oh, maybe you'll be catching passes from Trevor Lawrence. And he's like, well, I'm out here right now with him. And then I just clicked in my mind. I was like, we just saw Stidham there. And I was like, tell Stidham I said hi. Oh, and then after we filmed, by the way, I went on a good rant. Like, this is post Babs, like, interview. And I said to him about my true thoughts about Jarrett Stidham and, like, why I support him. Because I really think it's wrong that all Patriots Nation is just completely shitting on him. They don't want to believe in the kid. And he's still out there putting work as he's doing that right now with some of these top prospects all around him. And I also talked about a little bit about social media and stuff too. It's important that these young guys learn to be very careful of what you do.
Right.
It doesn't. In terms of prospects for the Patriots, I mean, we didn't really touch on anything like that. Nothing that I can take out of that interview and say like, oh, well, we should definitely get this or that.
Yeah.
He did talk about some of the guys from Penn State to keep an eye on in the draft and some of the upcoming guys even next year. But I kind of wanted to leave it open. Like, don't want to like put too much into the Patriots. I mean, I have his fan card now. I revoked his Patriots fan card. And it's such bullshit. He's like, I don't watch the games on Sundays because we have practice every Sunday. I don't think they're all watching it, but he had a cop-out answer and he did say, well, at Penn State, we only get the Eagles and Steelers games. And I will give him that. But if you're a true Patriots fan, you would have been following Pat's Perfect or something. And you
find a way,
you would have been watching. You would have been watching it.
Exactly. So. I heard you had some news to break. Is it that Stidham information in LA or you got anything else?
No. Okay. First off, before we go into that news, my opening take, which is now the
middle
end
take.
Of the take, middle take, was that Devin McCourty was on Tom Curran's podcast and Devin McCourty talked about the opt-outs. Like, he was asked about it. And Devin McCourty said, based on what I know, everyone's coming back. So now all of a sudden Babs is taking heat because Babs said Cannon's retiring and Hightower's retiring. The internet on Reddit, on the Pats Reddit, somehow says that, and because they all talk about me, they shit on me. I'm used to it. They all said that I said that Chung is retiring. I was the first one to come out and say he's not retiring. Everyone else said he was retiring. I was on Tony Maserati on an Instagram Live, and I said that he is not retiring. I had that information there. I just want to tell fans out there, Devin McCourty doesn't know everything, and he might know something. Is he going to say, well, yes, these three guys are coming back, but these guys are leaving? He's just going to say a generic answer. Yeah, they'll probably all be back. The band's been coming back together. It reminded me of like Julian Edelman when he was saying about Tom Brady last year. Yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back. Like they're not going to tell you. Like they're not going to do that. They're leaving it up to the individual players to either retire, opt out completely or whatever it may be, or get cut for all we know. Because let me tell you something. Marcus Cannon comes back. Are you fucking serious, people? Marcus Cannon, offensive lineman, who's 34, 35 years old, who took a full year off, who sold his house in Mansfield and is living in Texas. You're telling me he's going to come back to the New England Patriots and be absolutely fine and slide right in? Hey, absolutely not.
Maybe we could trade him to a team close to where his new house is.
He's going to get cut. Like, it's just not going to be Hightower, his position, linebacker, very hard to get back into. Has he been keeping up with his weight? I'm sure he has, but this is a source that I go down on. I know because I don't get credit enough because even if I say something, no one's going to give me credit for it. And I have to go to the media members like Fitzy or Jim Murray or Tony Maz and give it to them. And they run with it and they get the credit for it when it's right. And it was me all along. That's why they back me up because they know I have something. It is what it is. But you're not going to be right 100% of the time. Like Adam Schefter is going to write 100% of the time. Like Ian Rappaport's on it, right? Like, yeah, but they're not, it's not, you're always not going to always hit on it. So
I heard we were wearing royal blue jerseys. Is that coming back?
So listen about that Royal Blue. I know you guys want to harp on me about that. I mean, I was kind of right because they end up switching their jerseys the following year. It's just, we got the lines kind of across. They said, hey, the Patriots put in for new jerseys. And we figured, we tied it together and said, oh shit, Ty Law just went in the Hall of Fame. They were really harping about those Royal Blue throwbacks, which ended up coming back that year anyways for sale. So we kind of just tied it together and ran with it. And we were wrong about it. But guess what happened the next year? They released Color Rush became the regular one, and they released the white one, which I was on top of. But I still get no credit for it because no one gives a shit. All I'm trying to tell people is, just because Devin McCourty says something doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean that's going to be true. And whatever. You guys can shit on me. We'll wait another 2 months and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Now that I'm done with that, let's talk about the quarterback situation. So again, I've been trying over this last week. I waited till we were together on the podcast to talk about it because I wanted to go more in depth about it.
Okay.
And I've been poking around. I've talked to different media members and I've been trying to talk to different sources and get like where the head is at for the Patriots. And again, things change all the time. And I'm not saying that this is definitely 100% going to happen, but I think fans need to hear why this might happen because it makes more sense. And Mark Daniels and Albert Breer both wrote articles about this in the last couple weeks too. And they kind of already kind of put that out there as a feeler. So again, the Patriots are going through a couple phases right now. Phase one is trading. So right now it's the trade window, right? So they're trying to see what they can do. As you could tell, they didn't trade for Matt Stafford and they only offered a second round pick and a player X. They might trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Could they trade for Deshaun Watson? Who knows? It's just one of those feeler things. That's phase one. Phase two is March. March is free agency. That's when they start looking at the free agents. Now, I know that Cam Newton's name has been brought up numerous times about bringing him back in there. And again, if that happens, it happens. The name that people need to start realizing that it's going to end up making the most sense for the New England Patriots and what they feel is going to end up happening is Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett is going to end up coming back to the New England Patriots. I'm looking in my eyes. Jacoby Brissett will be back with the New England Patriots. So the reasoning behind this is that Jacoby Brissett was a third round pick back in 2016 for the New England Patriots. Okay. So they invested something. They invested a draft pick into him. He comes in that season, fills in, wins a game as a starter, the whole Wolfpack thing. He was traded away for Philip Dorsett, which was a great trade. Both ends, because the Colts needed a quarterback anyways. We get a wide receiver and Philip Dorsett ended up working out for the Patriots. It worked out long-term. But at the same time, Jacoby Brissett, they end up trading him away and they trade Garoppolo away a couple months later. So Jacoby was always a third guy. He was a third wheel. There was no time. He was not going to do anything, especially with Tom Brady here. So Jacoby goes to Indianapolis, wins them games, gets a contract negotiated on his own. The big thing is this. Brian Hoyer went over there for a year. And they actually were, you know, 1A and 1B for the entire season. So Brian Hoyer comes back here. He spent the last year here trying to mentor Stidham, quote unquote. But that's why they brought him in. Brian Hoyer is most likely retiring. He's done. And he could be slotting in as the quarterback's coach. So then all of a sudden, you still have Stidham on the roster. And you have that 15th pick, which will probably end up going to a quarterback. So they're looking at that piece right here. We're looking for that final piece. Who is going to be that free agent? Because they need one. Who's going to be that free agent quarterback? Do you want Cam Newton to come back in? They don't know, because then all of a sudden, what you're wasting with Stidham. Like, what's the point of even having him around if you're going to have Cam Newton here? Because Stidham's going to walk. It sounds like Jacoby Brissett would be the person they can bring in on a cheap deal, by the way, because he knows he's not going to be a starter anywhere else. He can come here for about 2 to 3 years. He can be a camp body to compete with Stidham, but also he knows the system. He was drafted by the Patriots, and he also spent time a year with Brian Hoyer. So there's a lot of different connections that work together. So Brian Hoyer, Jacoby Brissett working together, work with Stidham, also working with the young guy as well, too, whoever that may be. That's the road that the Patriots are looking to go at right now, based on the different sources I've been putting together and jumbling it together. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's just something that Patriots fans should kind of brace for. Like, I know everyone wants every different quarterback. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick's name's been out there. And that's great and all, but it's like, does Fitzpatrick know the system? Does he know like what the Patriot way is? Does he know what the organization wants? I just think based on what is out there and what's available and you want a cheap option, Jacoby Brissett would be perfect to come in, because I think he's going to realize that his career is just going to be a backup quarterback, like kind of like Brian Hoyer, like comes in, might be available to play and start for different teams. Like if you know that Stidham absolutely is garbage this year, you can just throw Jacoby in there and be fine. They could also use Jacoby in certain situations, I'm sure too. So I just want fans to start getting ready for Jacoby Brissett era coming back. And it's,
I'd be ready for it. I'd be all for it.
Again, whoever's it's, I think fans just need to realize it's Stidham in the rookie. Like that's what they're going to start going for. They're not going to go in and get this blockbuster trade where they're going to bring a Deshaun Watson in. They're not going to go for Cam Newton and bring him in. His stint's done. Like it's over with. So the Cam Newton thing would only happen is if every other quarterback was taken and they're like, shit, like he's the only one that's left available. Like he's like your last resort and you'd have to take him. But I think that fans again should also brace themselves for Stidham to start week one. It's going to finally be his time. And the fact that Stidham right now is in LA and he's with Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Palmer, the quarterback's coach, and he's just taking the time to learn, like, and he's, I think they have like a little bubble going on out there. That's good. That's what you want to see. And I said this to Pat Freiermuth in the interview. I kind of said, it's good that the media is not blowing up your spot. Although like, I just kind of blew up your spot, but it's just, it's good that like everything's kind of just away from everybody. There's no distractions or anything like that. So I thought that Stidham teaching Trevor Lawrence video was like,
that was interesting.
So funny. Like it was just so funny. Cause I knew the comments would be gold.
The comments were pretty great. Like saying like, maybe it should be the other way around. Like maybe Trevor should be up there teaching Stidham.
Yeah. Teaching him how to throw pick sixes and all this and that. But
those were great.
I just think that as a Patriots organization in Belichick and the way you think about it, that's a great 1-2 combination. Brian Hoyer, Jacoby Brissett, who both have experience. Of course, Hoyer has the most experience, especially with the organization. Jacoby Brissett, who was a starter in Indianapolis and was here for a Super Bowl run as well, too. And it was drafted in the third round. He was drafted pretty freaking high, if you think about it. And the fact is you have those two that will be able to mentor Stidham, whatever he has left. This would be his only year that he has a shot. But also mentoring Mac Jones or Kyle Trask or Trey Wilson. I don't care who it is. That's what you guys want. That's what they need.
Right.
And I've always been a proponent of Tom Brady was never going to mentor the next guy. Like he was not going to do that because he's always competing with the next guy. And that's why he probably wanted Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett out of here.
The crazy thing is Stidham's career could be over by the time Tom Brady's is over.
It's very
like,
true.
Brady could go longer than Stidham even lasts in the NFL, which is crazy. Like I would love to see that list of quarterbacks that have come in and out of the NFL based on like how long Tom Brady was here for. Cause it's just absurd at this point. Like the amount of stats you can get from that are crazy, but
yeah, you could just do it based on 2010 and above or like
yeah, even that exactly
and above, like, and you could just pick that together.
There's probably dozens, if not 100 of them, maybe not 100, probably a few dozen.
Last thing, the Jacoby Brissett thing is just, again, if you want to Google it, look it up. Mark Daniels talked about it. Albert Breer talked about it. There's two articles at least floating around about it with the idea where they kind of said it might not happen, but it's a really good fit. But as we just saw the Stafford trade just happen, you're kind of seeing what the value is for Watson. Are they going to get Garoppolo? It sounds like the trade, and Carson Wentz is supposed to be traded pretty soon, won't be coming to New England. I just feel that if the Patriots are only offering a second round pick for Matt Stafford and player X, so whoever that is, say it's Gilmore, they're not going to offer a lot in general. They're better off holding on to that 15th pick and using it for their future.
I mean, they haven't been historically great at drafting anyway. So if it was my choice, I'd probably trade it because you actually get some value out of that because you've already seen what a guy can do in the NFL. But hopefully one of those guys can end up winning the Patriots a Super Bowl. But moving on, we're going to talk about some of our favorite Super Bowls before we get into this weekend's Super Bowl. So we're going to go through what our top three Super Bowls were that didn't include the Patriots. There's not a lot to choose from in the last 20 years, but, and then go through our top three Patriots Super Bowls of the last 20 years. So getting started, do you have any off the top of your head, Babs? Cause I know I compiled mine pretty early on about, I know Patriots fans love, it's a great problem to have about debating what your favorite Super Bowls are, because there's so many to choose from.
So the thing is this. So we're going just based on the last 20 years, because it's sort of A, recency bias, and B, a lot of the following.
And I haven't watched any of the ones before that.
but a lot of the following is young. So yeah. It's like, these are the ones that you're probably going to remember. So, and again, you're talking about non-Patriots. Patriots went to 9 of them. So you're only talking about 11 different games. So the number one game in
start at the bottom. What's your third?
Now you screwed me around here. So I would say number three is last year's Chiefs 49ers game.
Okay.
The fact that Mahomes, they were down by 10 points. They had to come back. Believe it was in the fourth quarter and win that game. It was kind of signaling the new era, the new dynasty possibly for the Kansas City Chiefs. And even the fact that you had Jimmy Garoppolo in there, the 49ers, it's a big market team. It's for the West Coast. The final score was 31-20. It was a good game. That was number three. Number two would be the Baltimore Ravens, San Francisco 49ers. It was 34-31. Colin Kaepernick playing in a Super Bowl. The lights went out. Lights went out after half or whatever it was, or before halftime. And it caused a major delay, like a 30-minute delay in the game. And San Fran had the ball, and they could have won the game. And they threw it and on fourth down, I believe, and it was a miss to maybe Crabtree in the end zone. So cool Joe Flacco went on a crazy run.
The elite one?
That's where it started. So I put that at number two. And then number one. So first of all, I'll give some credit to the Saints and Colts game. So that'd be like number four.
That's like your honorable mention.
Yeah, honorable mention because of the onside kick by the Saints. I mean, taking down Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl as well, too. That was a great win for Sean Payton and Drew Brees. The number one game, and I'm sure everyone should have this one, was the Pittsburgh Steelers and Arizona Cardinals. Because we're talking about the toe tap catch. Like, you got Larry Fitz in the end zone, and then you got Holmes in the end zone. It was just the back and forth in that.
And
in
then
that
the quarter. Catch. Like, everyone knows the catch, that because that was the one that got Big Ben. I think that was his second ring, right?
It was Big Ben's second ring. So just the fact that and then he went to a third Super Bowl 2 years later and lost to Green Bay. Right. But I just think that's one of those games that will stick out in your mind. So
totally.
My
top three – two of those games are the same. My third one is kind of out of left field because you got to think. Half of the Super Bowls had the Patriots, so that gets rid of like half of our 20. Half of them weren't great games, and then half of them, like, I wasn't like paying attention to them. So you really got a narrow list here. So my third one is, don't call me crazy, but Super Bowl 48 between the Seahawks and the Broncos. I enjoyed that game watching Peyton Manning just get obliterated. Watching this kid, Russell Wilson, with the Legion of Boom and just kind of just lay the hammer down. Like, it was a dominant game. It was a very weird game because that was the one, I think that was the cold weather game that they had at MetLife, which was really weird for Super Bowl and should never happen again. But just seeing what Russell Wilson was able to do on a big stage against a great defense and score 40 plus points in the Super Bowl, magical. And then my second one, Babs said, Super Bowl 47 as well. Wait, I have these out of order. Super Bowl 43, Cardinals, Steelers. You get Larry Fitzgerald, Super Bowl, Kurt Warner, Ben Roethlisberger, and then the catch. You can't beat that. That game was all time. I live in Arizona now, and I think Cardinals fans are still upset about that one, about the last second catch, but it is what it is. You live with the last second catches, man. But then my favorite one that didn't include the Patriots was that Colin Kaepernick, Joe Flacco Super Bowl in New Orleans when the lights went out. There was the blackout game and the Ravens had the comeback. As soon as the lights came out, it was like the craziest momentum swing of all time. It's like momentum literally came and left the building with the power. So those are my three.
It's kind of crazy those. Just going off these non-Patriots games.
Yeah.
To look back on them and just say, like, all right, like, let's say if, like, what if Indy beat the Saints, right?
Right.
Like, where would that be? Where would that put Peyton Manning's
career? The NFL.
Would, Would Peyton Manning ever leave Indianapolis? Would they ever got rid of him going 2-14 that season? Because he brought you two championships. Same thing on, say, the San Francisco 49ers with Colin Kaepernick. What if Colin Kaepernick, after you've seen everything that's been about him over the last couple of years, what if he was your Super Bowl champion?
Or just Super Bowl MVP too, yeah.
Where would he – now, what would happen with Colin Kaepernick would probably still be in the league. Like, you can't get rid of him. You'd probably – more people probably listen to him because he won a Super Bowl, because people don't remember losers. He was right there. And then, you know, what was the other one I had here? The Broncos. Let's say the Broncos, if they didn't get obliterated by Seattle. I mean, would the Legion of Boom ever exist? Seattle ever, like, would Russell Wilson already be out of the league? And again, just another Peyton Manning thing. Like, you had the most high profile offense there. And you could have capped off such an amazing season. And you would have gone to another Super Bowl later on too. So could Peyton Manning have done that again? So just a couple, like, what ifs if they switched it around.
So moving on. What are your three favorite Patriots Super Bowls of all time?
All right. So everyone probably is going to have something on the similar list. And they're very interchangeable, except obviously number one.
Yeah.
Number one is the Super Bowl 51. And we can say it right away, because if you don't have Super Bowl 51, 28-3, that is
28-3, man.
That's, I wish I can relive that time. Day. That's, and just relive that night.
Today,
relive
what that is party. Today? Today's 4-year anniversary of it. Crazy, it right? It was four it years ago. That's like one of those nights you'll never forget. That one was crazy. But
the jersey I have right here is the Super Bowl 51 jersey.
Greatest comeback of all time. I've got a few. I've got a James White 51 jersey. I got a Tom Brady 51 jersey.
He was absolutely snubbed of the MVP that game.
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, screw
51
that
51 jersey. Whoa!
Number two I have is the 2001 Super Bowl 36 Super Bowl, because the St. Louis 36 is
36. My fault.
St. Louis Rams were like a 13-14 point favorite.
Yeah.
The greatest show on turf. In this little dinky, rinky-dink New England team who was 5-11 the year before, who just had a new quarterback because they're
starting. Who didn't know was starting the Super Bowl.
Who didn't know he started because he got knocked out of the AFC title game, and Drew Bledsoe had to win that game for them in Pittsburgh. And they end up going into there in New Orleans, and they won that. Again, and that wasn't even Brady's best performance. It was a team win. Ty Law's pick six. The fact that Brady did lead them down, Jermaine Wiggins had like a couple of great catches in that last 2-minute drill, and they had a Vinatieri kicking the game winner. So that needs to be number two for Patriots fans, because that's the start of what the run ended up being.
Yeah.
And then last, the third one, in my opinion, is Super Bowl 49, just because it was the 10-year drought of Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl, and Babs is, you know, Tom Brady fan page right now, which is off the charts, posted that picture, that 12 freaking post picture, but it was Sherman reaching out his hand to Brady. And if you look in Brady's face, it's just that kneel down. It's just,
it's like relief.
All that pressure off your shoulders, because hey, you lost to Eli when you almost had a perfect season, and then you lost to him again in 2010. And again, now going back to that, and you flip that around, imagine if Brady went undefeated and won four Super Bowls and then he tore his ACL, he might already be out of the league.
Yeah.
Like because he didn't meet Alex Guerrero and all this TB12 bullshit until after he got hurt, and it kind of just changed his perspective on things. He could have had everything. He would be 4-0. He would have been tied with Montana, and he would have had a perfect season on top of it. He would have already been labeled the GOAT. He seriously would have, like, back then. So
because he would have matched. Yeah, he would have matched Montana instantly.
And you're both 4-0 in Super Bowls. He didn't have to ever go back again, but he had a perfect season on top of it. They'd automatically put him in top.
Absolutely. So my wild card one. People are going to call me crazy for putting this as my third favorite Super Bowl. It took me a long time. Like, I thought that this was the worst Super Bowl of all time until I looked back. I went back and watched it. I think it was a year ago, because we played the same team in the regular season. It's the Super Bowl 52. Super Bowl 52, if you go back and look at it, it is one of the all-time games. Like, yes, it was back and forth. Yes, the Pats were down most of the time. The Eagles were down some of the time. It was a back and forth. Brady threw for 500 yards. And how many picks did he throw? Not one. It was an all-time game. Like, yes, you lost it. Yes, the defense like collapsed, and it's the reason Matt Patricia really left in the first place. But you go back and look at that game, it deserves to be up there with some of the greats. Not the best all-around game, but you like, people love offense. Chicks dig the long ball. You want to see Tom Brady slinging the rock in the Super Bowl, and that's what people got up there in Minnesota. Yes, the pass lost, but Tom Brady put one of the greatest stat lines of all time down.
And Brandon Cooks got knocked out of that game early right. on too. So and imagine if he did it.
If he's, it's one of the another what ifs. If Brandon Cooks stays in that game, doesn't get knocked way out, Pats probably win that game by a touchdown, which it hurts. But I hated watching that game for the second time around. But I watch it now and I'm like, that was an all time game. You get the Philly special. You hate Philly, but I'm not watching that game for Philly. I'm watching for to see Tom Brady throw for 500 yards because I don't know if a quarterback will ever do that again in the Super Bowl. But then same list as Babs. Super Bowl 49 is my second. Super Bowl 51, the greatest comeback of all time, because, I mean, what else is there to say about that game?
I like that you put Super Bowl 52 there because, you know,
it needs some more love.
I picked winners. And right. It's like, you know what? A losing
Super
Bowl.
The Pats lost three Super Bowls. That doesn't mean those were bad games.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like I didn't like 07 and 2010, like you lost to Eli, but then you lose to a backup quarterback, but Tom throws for 500 yards and they score 30 something points.
Yeah, not a lot of offense in that game, in those two games.
Right. Exactly. Until the tail ends when they needed them, and it went the wrong way. But those are our favorite Super Bowls. I very much enjoy watching the Super Bowl on Super Bowl weekend. I'm not a huge football guy, but when the Pats are there, you know who's back we got. But I got Tom Brady's back this weekend. I don't know. You probably have Tom's back in some ways and against him in some ways. That's where the prop bets come in. I know you lost on Demi Lovato's national anthem last year.
Dude, remember how adamant I was about that? Were you on that show?
I was like, there for it.
And I was
convinced.
Explained.
You had me convinced. I had my timer out. It was crazy.
I explained it, and I said, this is what she was doing every single year, like every single big national right. championship. And I think I put like $50 on it or whatever. Yeah. And I remember being at GRD's apartment, and we were watching it.
Stopwatch.
Devastated because she went way under. Yeah.
And you knew it like probably 30 seconds in, like, oh, she's going way too quick.
Yeah, she was nervous, 100% nervous.
What kind of prop bets have you got down this year? I haven't looked at an entire list of them, but I know Tom Brady high fiving a ref is one of them. So
we'll go through them. Some of them I picked off of Bovada. Okay. I asked Pat Freiermuth some of these. I was trying to be very quick about it. So MVP winner. You know, Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady. So Mahomes is minus 120, Brady's plus 200.
Brady.
Kelce and Hill are both plus 1,000. Gronk is plus 6,600. I said, if you want to make some money, you got to throw it on Rob
Gronkowski. Gronk had like two catches in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, but this is the Super Bowl.
The Bucks don't work the same way the Patriots do. It's not like Sony Michel is going to rush for 100 yards in one game, and then you're going to have Rex Burkhead come in. It's going to be the same consistent guys, I think, with the Buccaneers.
I'm going to do a flex and put a little name drop here. I texted Ty Law today. No big deal. I wanted to ask him about his MVP because 2 years ago he picked Edelman, and Edelman was like plus like 10,000 or whatever it was, or plus whatever it was. So He said it was Brady. He's like, it's going to be Brady, dude. They're going to give it to Brady or Mahomes. Like, he's like, you can't pick anybody else.
Yeah.
The U.S. National Anthem, it's going to be a duet this year. It's Eric Church, and I forget who else the other person is. 1:59. Over.
I got the under.
Over. It's a duet. No. It's a duet. It's a duet.
Yeah, back and forth. Is it – who? Wait, who is it? I've never heard of these people.
Eric Church, and I forget the other person.
I've never heard of either of them because I only know one of their names, but – Oh, they could go back and forth.
It's going to go over. I might have to touch that one. The over.
You've convinced me. I'll take over.
It's plus 105.
Is it like a musical? Is it like a musical? Are they artists or are they singers?
They're singers. I think they're both artists. I'm sure if you looked up Eric Church and you played a song, you know who he is.
That's enticing. If it was like instruments, I'd say under, but that's what I was thinking you meant with duet.
Speaking of songs, do you like The Weeknd?
I like The Weeknd.
I like The Weeknd. Over 8 songs or under 8 songs?
I think over, because I know he said he's not bringing any guests. So it's not going to be like someone else comes in and plays their song. It's going to be all Weeknd songs.
Perfect. Here's a little political thing. Will The Weeknd mention Donald Trump or will he mention Joe Biden? Yes or no?
Oh, I think either one. Of them. I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think the nose
are pretty heavy, but
I like the political climate. We don't talk about the president making the news every day. Joe Biden's low key. I like that.
Yeah, I looked at it too. Is like weekend, you know, whatever you support, it's career suicide to go out there and say something for either side. It's career suicide. You can't do that. Here's a good one. Will both teams' combined score be 76 or more to break the Super Bowl record? So they have to, so that if 76 points is like a 40-36 score.
Right. I'll say no, but the Bucs have never scored under 48 points in a Super Bowl. That's all I know. They've never scored under 40 points in a Super Bowl. They never scored under 30. So
yeah, they have 41 points.
They're going to score a lot of points. Well, they have 41. I think they had like 48 against.
Or maybe it was 48. I just had
against
it up.
The Raiders. Back
here's another good one.
03.
Yes, plus 450. No, minus 850. Will a non-quarterback throw a touchdown?
No. I wouldn't say yes. No, these teams are going to – it's going to be like a great
Brendan,
classic football
Brendan,
game. Who's going to throw it then?
Brendan, listen. Think about this one play that sticks in Tom Brady's mind, the Philly special. Wouldn't it – he needs to cancel that out. Because if he gets one,
Tom Brady catches
a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He needs one. Remember he tried catching one, like, you know, against the Eagles.
And that play works. He's completed that play. I remember he did that against the Titans like 3 weeks before that.
I mean, Brendan, and the thing is, if he does it, everyone's gonna lose their shit. But it cancels out the Philly special. Like
it
you
does.
Can't. It's like it cancels it out. And he did it at 43 years old. So that's even
it
more.
Does.
So I think if they get down and guess who can throw
that would be magical. That would be an all time Super Bowl moment.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronkowski throws it. Who cares? It's a fucking 1 yard pass. Just do it in the end zone. So
pretty long pass.
I will take yes on that one.
I'm saying no. There's no way.
And don't forget, Pat Mahomes can catch the ball too. Tyreek Hill can throw it to him.
Yeah, there's no way. It's not happening.
Here's a good one. Who will the Super Bowl MVP first mention in their speech? Will they mention teammates? Will they do God or Jesus, their city, the coach or owner, or family and family members?
I think I want to say city because I think these two are really big in the city. I know Tom talked about Boston the last two. I think I don't know much about Pat Mahomes. I know it would be huge for Kansas City to win back-to-back Super Bowls, and I think Tom has fallen in love with the idea of Tampa Bay. So I think
and it's
city.
In Tampa.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll say this. Go back to their last MVP wins, so Super Bowl 51 and then Super Bowl 54 last year. Listen to their MVP speeches. What's the first thing they mentioned? That's probably what they're going to end up saying. Right. But I would say that if Brady wins, we did this for Tampa Bay. Like, we're here in Tampa Bay. Like, we're here Tampa
Bay. Exactly.
Like, I can picture that. Plus 650.
Yeah, I see that
plus
easily.
That's plus 650.
Yeah, I'll buy that now.
Ooh, it's a good one.
I'll put the Dogecoin money in there.
Here's a wild one. Will the game go to double overtime?
No.
Yes is plus 4,000.
No.
No is minus 10,000.
When was the last time a game in the NFL went to double OT?
Never, because after overtime.
Exactly.
This could be it.
It's never going to happen.
All right, Brendan.
We've had 54 Super Bowls up until this weekend. Only one's gone OT.
And it was Tom Brady in it, so it's got to go to double overtime.
At that rate, it's going to take until like Super Bowl 203 to get double overtime.
What color will the first liquid be poured on the game-winning coach?
Oh, I'm red. I'm always on red.
So red is plus 160. NFL on Fox had a graphic from the last 9 Super Bowls. Red has not been used in the last 9 Super Bowls.
It's overdue.
Pat Freiermuth also said red because he said both teams have a hint of
exactly.
Red. They're red teams. Orange is plus 165. Orange was the color that was used last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. So I believe in superstition. You want to have the same Gatorade on the sideline.
Oh, okay.
Lime green and yellow is plus 300.
I could see yellow happening.
So I know Super Bowl 52 was used. I'm hearing a lot of talk about that yellow is going to be the color this year. Blue is plus 800. Blue was Super Bowl 53 and Super Bowl 49.
Yeah. I've got good memories of blue.
Tom Brady But Tom Brady doesn't drink Gatorade. He doesn't drink that shit. That shit's not good for him.
Yeah, that's,
he
knows that's way too much sugar.
It's a Bill Belichick. Blue's a Bill Belichick color. Right, it's a blue, but purple is plus 1300. And I just feel that Bruce Arians might go for purple if they win. I feel like he wants to be a center.
He doesn't get to choose.
So here's a good
one. We all know red Gatorade's the best. That's going to be the one.
They don't have this option because they have clear and water, but they don't have this option. If it said none, I'd pick none.
You take the
because
Fields?
Of COVID. Because of COVID. They're not going to be able to do the Gatorade shower.
Oh,
there's no, they can't do people drinking out of it, mixing it
away.
They might get fined for it or something like that. I will say that,
Justin Turner literally had COVID and went out on the field during the World Series. It's
Super Bowl 51 and Super Bowl XLVII. They both didn't have Gatorade showers. So it could happen. Yep.
Why isn't that an option then? That should be like a plus.
It should. It should. It should be an option. Yeah. It should be an option. It's not there. I think that's all I have. Like, there's another one that says, like, what will be mentioned first: Brady's 10th Super Bowl appearance or Brady's age? Who will be shown first on the game, Mahomes or Brady? How many times will Belichick be mentioned? Over one, under one? Take the over.
Oh, always over. I know there was one about Tony Romo, if he's going to correctly predict a play.
He's gonna ruin time.
He's gonna spoil it. It's like you. It's not a prediction.
It's a spoiler. Hot take. I said this. Tony Romo, he's got to calm down. He's so everyone's geeked up and gassed up about Tony Romo, and he's done well, right? It's something different. But I feel like this year, when I've been listening to him, he's just been calling the game before it happens. And I think he's going to start pissing people off the Super Bowl. And I think he's going to start calling plays before he sees, and everyone's going to just tell him to shut the hell up. I bet Tony Romo will be trending. Tony Romo will be trending on Twitter for the wrong reason.
Oh, that would be a good prop bet on who, like, the first player to be trending is.
Trending on Brady. Twitter. Yeah, it should be non-Brady Mahomes or something like that. How it should be.
That would be entertaining.
That's all I got for prop bets.
All right. Well, I guess that just about wraps it up. I mean, we got to choose the game now.
Kansas City -4.
What's your score? What's your final score? Kansas City?
I don't know, 34-24. Like, I just feel that Kansas City, again, it's going to come down to coaching. Andy Reid, Bruce Arians. I'm not rooting against Brady. Like, I'm not supporting the Bucks, by the way. I'm not supporting the Chiefs. I just think that Kansas City was 14-2 this year, 15-1. Like, they only had one loss, and it was to Las Vegas, and that was a close game.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like although Kansas City's favored, they're not. Like, it's in Tampa. Everyone's talking about Tampa.
The center of the universe.
The last 3 weeks, like, this Tampa team has looked pretty iffy on offense. They look nervous. I mean, the nerves are going to set in. And can you deal with Tom Brady yelling at you during the Super Bowl out of all games? So, I again, that's why I say, Brendan, they'll win it next year. Like, they'll 100% win one. We'll see. I just think Kansas City is, you know, the NFL is due for a new dynasty, quote unquote, and they're due for a team to go back to back. And I think Kansas City is way better than the Seattle Seahawks when they tried going back to back. They're better than the Patriots when they tried doing it at the Super Bowl 52 year. They're just a better overall team. They have something there. And I
disagree,
I think that
with you.
Kansas City is going to be running the table of the AFC for the next couple of years. So
I know Fitzy ran with this. I think this week that Tom Brady's new nickname, if he wins this weekend, is going to be the Dynasty Killer, because he did it against Seattle. Seattle had a potential to be one of the all-time teams had they gone back-to-back, and probably could have won three in 4 years before that team fell apart. But I think Tom's got a good chance at winning this game and ending what could be a great Chiefs 10-year run, potentially. I think the Chiefs, they're not going to be one of those teams, if Tom Brady were to win this weekend, they're not going to be one of those teams to fall apart and not make a Super Bowl again for the next 10 years. I think the Chiefs are going to be competitive for a long time with how long they have Pat Mahomes locked up for. I know the salary cap's going to be kind of strapped. They're going to be struggle building around him eventually, but Tom Brady's going to be the dynasty killer once again this weekend. I got Tom winning, say, 38-32.
If Brady wins this game, it better be a blowout. He's due for a blowout win. Like, he needs one. Like,
and it should have been the Rams or the Eagles Super Bowl, the last two.
Yeah, he's overdue for it.
I mean, that's
completely overdue.
He's increasing his margin of victory every single year, because the Super Bowl 51, The Pats won by what, 6 points? Because it was the OT win. They won by 4 points the previous year. They won by 3 points the year before, or in Super Bowl 39. So it's going up. They won by 3 points in all the first three Super Bowls. So it's gone up every single time. It's never gone down. So we got 3 points of margin. We got 4 points of margin, 6 points, and then 10 points versus the Rams. So Tom's got him. I guess Tom has to win by 10 or more this year, right?
Has to. I think I saw a stat that said this is the first time in Super Bowl history where both number one offenses are meeting against each other.
It's going to be fun. There's going to be some fireworks. In
conferences. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great game. This is what's good about being a Patriots fan is
You don't have to cheer for the other side.
You don't have to cheer for the other side. You let it. You just let it go. You just watch the game. And usually when you do that at a Super Bowl, the games are pretty fucking fun.
Yeah. Because
you don't have to sweat about it. It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, Brady threw an interception. I'm sweating. This sucks.
I don't think I sat down once for the last like two or three Super Bowls.
People are going to feel like that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If Tampa wins, good for Tampa. If Kansas City wins, good for Kansas City.
Green Runs Deep will be at the game. Just told me today.
Yep. Super Bowl
got a ticket.
Super Bowl 55. Fun stuff. What do we got coming up? So we have the Pat Fryer Muth interview. I'll be in Utah next week. I'm going to another Celtics game. Why not? So that's me and GRD might have a little competition. I've been to more Celtics games. He's been to more Super Bowls, I guess.
Hey, the football guy now. He's not
exactly. But we'll see. But thanks for tuning in. Let's move on to final thoughts.
My final thought was that Tom Curran wrote an article, he's put it out there, that Matt Stafford didn't want to come to New England. He was like, I don't want to go there. I think it's such a bullshit clickbait thing from Tom Curran to say. I think that everyone started running away with it. If you look at the list, it was all warm weather teams except Chicago, and he's not getting traded to Chicago to the division rival. And Matt Stafford came out and said, I want to play in warm weather or a dome. Like, I don't want to play in cold weather. And New England has shitty weather in November and December and January.
For January.
And then all of a sudden people are attacking me saying, well, what about in the playoffs? They have to go to the Green Bay and go play there in the coldest net. Yeah, that's one game out of the year. Like, we're not talking about consistent bad weather that's going on in the outdoors. And you have to practice in it and all that shit. So I just think that it was a clickbait article by Tom Curran. I don't believe in any of that. Don't believe in this whole, no one wants to come to New England because Tom Brady's not here. I just think, again, it's just the media just trying to bash Bill or just make a story out of nothing.
Right. I totally get that. But my final thought, Celtics and Bruins are playing tonight, both tied right now. But I did have a final thought. I don't know what the heck happened to it. So we'll just move on. I guess that was episode 91. Good luck, Celtics Clippers tonight. Go, Tom.
I'm the biggest Brady fan out there.